Actually, the text is over. Mm-hmm. Sorry, conclusion. These two verses only conclude the text, present the conclusion of the text. So, finally, what Ramana Maharishi says in these verses? We are not really speaking interested in the moksha which is going to be there after the death. So, even if we talk about the Videha Muktihi, it is important for us. So, Videha Muktihi, the liberation after leaving the mortal coil, this physical body, is possible only if a person is a Jivan Muktaha. A person who is bound, if a person dies bound, dies ignorant, then Videha Muktihi is not possible at all. How can knowledge rise for a person after he dies, if he dies ignorant? Because attainment of knowledge is possible only if the mind is functional. In a non-functional mind, knowledge cannot take place. If the mind has to be functional, the mind must be endowed with the body, physical body, gross physical body. So only when a being, as a human being, when you are a complete human being, as an individual, all the layers of personality are there, the physical body is there, only then attainment of knowledge is possible. That's why Narajanma, the human birth, is very precious. Only as a human being, one can discover moksha. Even not even a celestial can attain a moksha, because they don't have that facility, provision is not there. So for the mind to be functional, and it must be in the body, it must happen in a physical, gross physical body. So only in a functional mind knowledge can take place. If in a non-functional mind also knowledge can take place, then in everyday in sleep you would have discovered, you can be taught Vedanta Shastram even when you are sleeping. We can ask you to go to fall asleep, and then we can teach Vedanta. In sleep, mind is present, but it is non-functional. It is a part of the function, in fact. So, once the mind leaves the physical body, immediately all the subtle power aspects leave along with the mind. Just the powerless, prana-less, the prana functions free, powers free, the body is there, which is dead, which is like a log of wood, which can be cremated, which means the body itself can be alive only if the mind is present in the physical body, and the mind needs the body. See, body is dependent on the mind's presence for it to be alive. For all these other subtle aspects to be functional, and for the mind also to be functional, it is dependent on the body. Without the body, mind cannot be functional. Even the sense powers cannot be functional. They'll all be non-functional, non-interactable, subtle entities. Therefore, mokshaha akvideha muktihi means, the Shastram says, mind does resolve for good. When a wise person's mind leaves the physical body after the fall of the body, when the paradha is over. Why does the mind resolve for good? Because when the mind, there is no ignorance of the truth in the mind, then there is knowledge. Definitely there is no I-sen, ahankara. There is no ahankara in the mind. Ahankara means what? The I identified with the body-mind-sense complex. ಇದು ಅಹಂಕಾರ. ಐ ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫೈಡ್ ವಿತ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ಐ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫೈಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿ ಅಹಂಕಾರ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದೇರ್, therefore all the notions are not there, needs will not be there, emotional dependence as such will not be there, there won't be raga dveshas, there won't be other thoughts, therefore there will be mind will be will be peace, isn't it? So the mind can come back only if there are raga dveshas, and raga dveshas are possible only if needs are there, emotional dependence is there. So therefore the mind will be resolved for good. When the mind is resolved, without the mind all the powers also will be resolved for good. The sukshma always will be what now? Sukshma, you cannot understand sukshma more than what you have understood already. Sukshma will be resolved for good means it will not come back. Assumption of another body will not be possible. That is called videha muktihi. Which means a person before the death, just before the death, or sometime during the lifetime, he must have attained jnanam, he must have been a jivan muktaha. So Ramana Maharshi concluded saying, the parama purushartha, he says paramartha muktihi. Paramartha muktihi means the absolute end, ultimate end, muktihi, the mokshaha is there only when the truth, when one recognizes, one resolves the I-sense. Unless and until I-sense is resolved. And the resolution of the I implies what? Having inquired into the truth of I, I recognize the truth of the I and having it resolved there. And which is ahankara nasha. Isn't it? So cognitive resolution of I in its truth is what? Ahankara nasha, which means there more, no more ahankara there. Ahankara will, where is ahankara? Will disappear. But the wrong identity to be there, I must be there, na? I is already resolved cognitively. And not only when the I is resolved in the reality, what happened? In the light of the knowledge of the real nature of one's own self, the Atma, the other fact comes to know is simultaneously there is no second reality other than the oneself, Atma, the consciousness. The second reality. Not only there's a second reality, there's no second thing other than the Atma. So all that is here, that's why you resolve all the differences, all the divisions, the plurality, multiplicity, duality, everything, what you are experiencing in the waking state, what is relatively empirically real, will be resolved as mithya, the same reality, which means absolutely what is real is the satya, the self, Atma, Brahma, the consciousness, jnanam. This is the vision of the non-duality of the reality, which means in being endowed with which you can say all these differences, all this the multiplicity, plurality, all this, the entire jagat of innumerable countless objects, forms and names and functions and purposes, the whole thing, the knower and known knowledge, all this also, nothing but manifestations of one and the only reality, the knowledge, the consciousness of Brahma. Therefore, when you look at the reality, manifest everything as manifestation of reality, you see the manifestations of the reality as the Ishvara. Therefore, you can say the whole is Ishvara. Everything is manifestations of knowledge, the Brahman. All that is here is only Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma means there is no I, there is no you, there is no it, there is no that, there is no she, he, anything. Which means we are experiencing, enjoying all of this, but still we can say that. Which means in our perception, that absolutely what is there is only Brahma, empirically, relatively, all this, the duality is there. Duality is there very much. How real it is, empirically real, relatively real, but absolutely non-duality is the reality. So, in resolving the ahankara, all the notions being resolved, then there is moksha. Isn't it? It's simultaneous. So self-knowledge gives rise to what? Knowledge of the vision of the non-duality of the truth, which means you do understand there's no second thing, there's a secondary, a parallel reality, or a second thing other than the truth, Brahman. This is the lesson, teaching, the whole thing. And he repeatedly emphasizes, one has to enquire into the nature of the I. And the enquiry into the nature of the I is possible only, first of all, if you distinguish the I by knowing what the I is not. It's very important. Is it? How can you enquire into the nature of the I if you don't even know what I is not? We already have some wrong understanding of what I is. So you have to correct your wrong understanding of what I is not, first of all, to exactly arrive at what the I is. Understand? And there's no way of arriving at the truth of the whole without having arrived at the truth of one's own self. So that's why initially he said existence of the universe presupposes the existence of I, the individual self, the experiencer. Therefore, there cannot be a cognition that the world exists without the cognition I am. That's why he says, dive deep into the cave or dive deep into the well and discover what is the truth of the mind. Means what? How long can you deep dive? You know, however deep you dive into the well also, however deep you go into the cave also, some point you have to stop. And what is the point we have to stop here? The mind is the cave and you have to negate everything as non-self, 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 and where you have to finally stop where? Where I thought, I cognition is, that is the dead end of the mind. And when you understand what that I is, then everything else becomes understood as well. As it were. Therefore, he emphasizes that. Okay? And even though the one important thing we have to remember is self-enquiry alone will result in self-knowledge, which is going to be knowledge of the truth of the whole. Thereby, you arrive at the vision of non-duality of the reality. But this enquiry should not be done independently. Only with the help of the Shastram it has to be done. We'll see the 41st verse. Saddarshanam dravidavang nibaddham. Saddarshanam dravidavang nibaddham. Maharshina Sri Ramanena Shuddham. Maharshina Sri Ramanena Shuddham. Prabandhamutkrishtamamartyavanyam. Anudya vasishta munirvyatanit. Sishta munirvyatanit. Saddarshanam dravidavang nibaddham. Saddarshanam dravidavang nibaddham. Maharshina Sri Ramanena Shuddham. Maharshina Sri Ramanena Shuddham. Prabandhamutkrishtamamartyavanyam. Anudyavasishtamunirvyatanit. See, Maharshina Sri Ramanena, by the great seer Sri Ramana Maharshi, Ramana, the Shuddham Saddarshanam, the clear and pure vision of the reality, which has been written in Tamil language. Verse, Tamil language. Dravida walk means Tamil language. Dravida means Tamil language. Dravida Vang Nibaddham, which has been composed, written in Tamil language. This textbook dealing with revealing the vision of the truth, and which is a pure, clear vision of Ramana Maharshi, composed by him, the great seer Ramana. And this Prabandha means this textbook, this text, book of this Utkrishta means exalted. Utkrishta means exalted textbook has been reproduced in Amartyavani. Amartyavani means Sanskrit, Deva Bhasha. In Sanskrit language. Amartyavani is Sanskrit language. Dravida Vak is Tamil language. So this exalted textbook has been reproduced, presented in Sanskrit language by Vasishta Munihi. Anudya means having translated. So Vasishta Munihi have presented the vision of the textbook through translation in Sanskrit language. That's what he says. Why this exalted textbook? Utkrishtam. Exalted because it reveals, it gives you the essence of the scriptural teaching in terms of the clear vision of the reality, that which alone is. Sat darshana means vision of the reality. So this textbook must have given the, how, what is the vision of the reality? How do you see the reality here? The whole universe, which is experienced by you, including yourself as an experiencer, the experiences you have in your mind, the experience is expressed by other people also, and all that is experienced here, everything here is manifestation of the only reality. So you see everything as what? The reality. It's called Saddarshanam, vision of the reality. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Sattatvasaram, Sattatvasaram, Saralam Dadhana, Saralam Dadhana, Mumukshu Lokaya, Mudam Dadhana, Amanusha, Amanusha, Shri Ramaniya Vani,
Shri Ramaniya
Vani, Mayukabhittir,
Mayukabhittir,
Munivagivabhati, Munivagvibhati, Munivagvibhati. Sat Tattva Saram. So essence of the teaching in terms of the truth, the absolute reality, Saralam Dadhana. So easily containing the essence of the teaching, the vision of the reality, this textbook, Mumukshu Lokaya Mudam Dadana. It really bestows joy to the world of Mumukshus. It bestows joy, happiness to all those who, Mumukshus, all those seekers who are totally committed to the pursuit of moksha as an absolute. End with Purusharth Nischaya, who are committed to the pursuit of moksha and jnanam. For them, this book is bestowed of joy. Why? Because it gives the essence of the teaching in terms of the vision of the reality in easy language, easily it presents. So, Amanusha Sri Ramaniya Vani. So, the Visha Ramaniya Vani means the language, the words of Ramana Maharshi, the language of Ramana Maharshi, revealing his vision, revealing the vision of the words of Ramana Maharshi, revealing his great vision, is reflected by words of Ganapati Muni, like the wall reflects, echoes the sounds. See, when you make a noise in a big place, the bhittihi means wall, reproduces, echoes the sounds. In the same way, I mean, they're not different from the sounds, isn't it? The echo sounds are non-different from the original sounds. Similarly here, Ganapati Muni's words, like the wall echoes the sounds, reproduces sounds, so also Ganapati Muni's words also reflect the divine words of, repeat the divine, reproduces the divine words of Ramana Maharshi, revealing his great vision. Ganapati Muni is one of the closest associate of the Ramana Maharshi. Actually, Ramana Maharshi has written a textbook, Ulladu Narpadu, in Tamil language, which means that which is, that which alone is. So that whatever Ramana Maharshi has given in that work, and he has translated that work into Sanskrit language, and without changing, without distorting his vision, or distort changing the words of Ramana Maharshi. He's given the same vision and his heart. Ramana Maharshi's heart has been brought out in this work called Sadarshanam in Sanskrit language.
Swami, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You say that I identify with the reality, is Brahman.
Mm.
When that happens, there would not be rag dvishas.
Mm. Actually, I is already Brahma. But there is ignorance of what that I is in the mind.
Right.
But in the wake of the knowledge of the I being the reality, so cognitively I resolved, then there is knowledge in the mind, ignorance is resolved, knowledge in the mind that I am consciousness, I am, Brahma. Then what happened? The vision of the truth being one's own nature, naturally all the wrong notions about the self will be resolved. See, when the identity is with the reality, aham Brahma, suppose the wave identified with the water, the smallness centered of the individual is resolved.
Right.
When the smallness is resolved, then naturally the smallness caused problems. See, raga dveshas, likes and dislikes, and all other problems in terms of jealousy, hatred, anger, all of them are possible only if there is sense of smallness centered on I.
Oh, I see.
The smallness should be triggered for all of them to be there. Okay? And a sense of smallness centered on I would be resolved means, in the knowledge, nothing can trigger this smallness centered on I. See, smallness is always there. But the problem comes in the mind when, only when the smallness is triggered. In sleep, nothing triggers your smallness because you don't even know you are. In waking also, you are a very goody-goody person as long as your smallness is not triggered. When the smallness is triggered, and that then your sorupam comes out. Other sorupam comes out. Other rupam comes out, isn't it? And then that is when your behavior is completely harmful and then damaging, isn't it? Destructive. Therefore, now in the wake of the knowledge of the Swarupam, real nature, you understand, my God, this is what I is, this, all these notions resolve, Ragadvashas resolve. Not Ragadvashas, that's why Shadripuhu. Any beautiful word, I always remember this one thing, Shadari. Remember we told you in the class, Shadari. You know, in Mahavishnu temple, when you go, in Vishnu temples, Vaishva Sampradaya, we have something called Shadari. They keep on cap-like thing they have. On the top, there's 2 feet of Bhagavan. They'll put you on the top thing. When you go to the temple, they'll put on you. Because you can't go inside the sanctum sanctorum to put your head at the feet of the Lord. So the feet of the Lord are there in a cap-like thing. They'll bring it out, they'll put it on your head. You mean the Bhagavan's feet are put on your feet, your head. Okay? Your head touching Bhagavan's feet is what? Bhagavan's feet, your feet, whenever the head touches the Bhagavan's feet, it is like what? The wave becoming one with ocean. Bhagavan's feet symbolize what? Symbolize, Bhagavan is the whole, the feet symbolizes the knowledge. When your head touches the feet, you have resolved your individuality in totality. You have resolved identity with Paramatma. You are no more individual, no more in I. It's only Paramatma, it's only Bhagavan. So in that is what is Jnanam. That happens when? When do you resolve identity with Paramatma? Resolve individuality in totality? Only in Jnanam. So when that's why Jnanam takes place, then what happens? All these six will be driven away. They'll be chased out of your mind. What are they? Kama, Krodha, Kamaha, in terms of Ragadveshas. Kamaha means desire. Desire is what? Ragadveshas, likes and dislikes. So, Kama, Krodha, then Krodha, anger. Lobha, greed. Kama, Krodha, Lobha. Moha, delusion. Madaha, pride. Matsaryam, envy. Jealousy. So these six are, you know, products of ignorance. You know, Ajnana Putraha. Ajnana Putraha, they will live comfortably enjoying, you know, more and occupying more and more space of your mind. The more and more you allow the ignorance to be there, more you remain steeped in ignorance, the more they enjoy the space of the mind. And the more they are there, and then more you will be disturbed and gloomy, unhappy. You will be unhappy and you will be make others also unhappy. You will cause all your actions, expressions, all your behavior, the entire external behavior will be expressions of the Rakshasa sitting inside the mind. Yeah, understand? So they're all friends of Ajnana Putraha. So the Ajnanam is so fond of the children, isn't it? Whereas Jnanam comes in, Jnanam will not allow them to be there. In the wake of the knowledge of the truth, of one's own self being, the truth, the consciousness, what happens? So, the smallness will resolve. One is sent smallness and an I is resolved, the desires, the passion, what is the passion for, what is the desire for, what are the ragadveshas for, what is the the smallness causes pain in you. Every time smallness is triggered, there's a pain. And that pain alone, what now? Is the hurt feeling that is expressed from about all jealousy, hatred, anger, all those things. So all of them resolve for good in Jnanam. Therefore, knowledge is said to be enemy of the six. Knowledge does not allow ignorance, and ignorance caused the products of ignorance to be around anywhere. So knowledge is enemy of the six. Therefore, Shad arihi means enemy. Shadari means what? Enemy of the six. We don't mean directly the knowledge. Enemy of the six is what? Enemy of the six is knowledge. Therefore, Shadari means what? Knowledge. Knowledge, that which is the enemy of the six, is Shadari. So you go to the Vishnu temple, the Shadari. Please have Shadari. Have shadari, means what? Please have jnanam. Please have jnanam. So once you bow to, when you, that's why we don't simply stand like this. Bhagavan's feet comes means we first just run and bow to the, bow and have Bhagavan's feet, no, touched by your head. So what happens? Bhagavan's feet, your head touches the feet of Bhagavan means, Bhagavan's feet touch your head means you have been engulfed. You are devoured by Bhagavan. Okay, I is devoured by Bhagavan. I becomes offered to Bhagavan. Purnahuti. Mahabalihi. There's no greater offering than offering one's own self. Know that? Mahabalihi. So in the fire of knowledge, I becomes what now? Reduced ashes. I is reduced to ashes. That's what it's called, greatest offering, Mahabali. Offering one's own self. So, the actual problem, a human problem, is what, this is Pooja Swamiji has written a book very beautifully, you are the problem, problem is you, solution is you. See, this is what, see, what now is here so much. Problem is you, solution is you means what? All your problems, you know, are notional, emotional, okay? They will be resolved only when this smallness centered on I is resolved. The smallness centered on I will be resolved only when the wrong notions about yourself are corrected. The wrong notions can be resolved only if the very, you will understand, arrive at the truth of the I when the I is resolved, I sense is resolved. Ahankara has resolved, isn't it? You are not destroying anything here. So, in the vision, the clear, ascertained vision of the truth, being yourself, then nothing can trigger your smallness. You must be there now for the smallness to be triggered. So, nothing can trigger the smallness centered on I because you yourself are not. Where is the smallness centered on? Where is smallness sitting on you? You are not there for smallness to sit on you, isn't it? So the problem is anything which triggers the smallness gives rise to what? Hurt, anger, raga dveshas, jealousy, hatred, all that. That's why the problem is what? Now the smallness centered on I will be triggered as long as the sense of smallness is centered on I, isn't it? As long as I is sitting, I is not resolved. Ahankara is not resolved. Ahankara can be resolved only when the by discovering the truth of the I. That's why he said beautifully, in knowledge, I am Brahma. In ignorance, I Ahankara. That is Ahankara. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Om Namo Bhagavate Saddarshanadatre Ramanaya Maharshe Ganapati Vasishta Ganapati Munayim.